scripture reading this morning comes from Joshua chapter 7, verses 10 through 13. Joshua 7, 10 through 13. The Lord said to Joshua, "Get up. Why have you fallen on your face? Israel has sinned. They have transgressed my covenant that I commanded them. They have taken some of the devoted things. They have stolen the light and put them among their own belongings. Therefore the people of Israel cannot stand before their enemies. They turn their backs before their enemies because they have become devoted for destruction. I will be with you no more unless you destroy the devoted things from among you. Get up, consecrate the people and say, 'Consecrate yourselves for tomorrow, for thus says the Lord God of Israel, there are devoted things in your midst, O Israel. You cannot stand before your enemies until you take away the devoted things from among you.'"
Morning, everybody. Once again, I hope you're having a great day so far. It's good to see all of you back. Thank you to our visitors for being here, as always. Thank you to all of our members, and we just thank you all. We get to see your smiling faces this morning. Always love to see all of you. So, thank you so much for being here, everybody. We love you, and we hope that you know you're always cherished in our hearts. We were on a series last Sunday, and we were talking about not being able to hide our sins from God Most High. First, we talked about, you remember, Adam and Eve. Then we talked about who? Jonah. And then we talked about King David last Sunday evening. So we've talked about these different events, these different occasions, these different people, and how they maybe tried to hide their sins from God in different ways. They ran from God. They turned away from God in different ways. And then some of them would eventually come back to God in different ways. We talked about all those different things that happened in those earlier scriptures. And we're going to talk about Ananias and Sapphira tonight. So make sure you come back and make it for tonight. I hope to see all of you. We had a great, great study over King David last Sunday evening. It was a great study. And I really, really hope that you're there tonight, because Ananias and Sapphira will also be a very, very fantastic study to go through. But as for this morning, as you already seen, we're going to be talking about another individual, one that may not be talked about that much from the Old Testament scriptures, and his name is Achan, the son of Carmi. Achan, you ever heard of Achan before? Well, he's in Joshua chapter 7. He's one of those that would be destroyed for his sins against God. The consequences would lead to his death. But he is a little bit of a more interesting individual as far as the cases and those Israel would deal with in the conquest of Canaan. Achan, he's a very interesting individual. But he would try to hide his sins from God Most High. So that's the one you were just reading about there. Now this scene here, I want you to try to picture the scene. Let's try to go back to the Old Testament for a bit. Let's try to see what's going on. In Joshua chapter 7, we talk about this man Achan. He's taken from the things that he shouldn't have. So what are those things? Well, if we go back to the previous chapter, what are we talking about? Anybody know? In chapter 6, we see a city. And that city is probably one of the most famous stories in the Bible, one of the most famous accounts in the Bible you can read about. Most people know about it. It's the city of Jericho. And they marched around the city multiple times. They marched around all those times, and the walls eventually came down and destroyed everything inside Jericho. Only some things of the treasury were saved for the treasure of the Lord. But of other things, they weren't to be taking of those things. And as the brother just read, devoted things, or there are other words for it as well, like accursed things. But there were these accursed things that God told the Israelites they were not to take whenever they took and destroyed Jericho. However, Achan would take those things. We can read about it in Joshua chapter 6, so let's read it. I don't want you to hear it from me only. Let's read Joshua chapter 6, verse 20. Start there with me in verse 20, Joshua 6. Let's see what's going on. "So the people shouted when the priest blew the trumpets, and it happened when the people heard the sound of the trumpets, and the people shouted with a great shout, that the wall fell down flat. Then the people went up into the city, every man straight before him, and they took the city." Verse 21. And they utterly destroyed all that was in the city. This is Jericho. Both man and woman, young and old, ox and sheep and donkey with the edge of the sword. But Joshua had said to the two men who spied out the country, go into the harlot's house. Who are we talking about? Rahab. And from there bring out the woman and all that she has, as you swore to her. The young men who had been spies, verse 23, went in and brought out Rahab, her father, her mother, her brothers, all that she had, so that they brought out all her relatives, and they left them outside the camp of Israel. But they burned the city. Once again, Jericho. They burned the city. All that was in it with fire. Only the silver and gold and the vessels of bronze and iron they put into the treasury of the house of the Lord. Verse 25, Joshua spared Rahab, the harlots, her father's household, and all that she had. So she dwells in Israel to this day because she hid the messengers whom Joshua sent to spy out Jericho. So here we have the scene. This is right after they went into Jericho. They took everything. Those walls fell down miraculously by God's power. They took all those things. That is, those things for the treasury of the Lord. But everything else was to be destroyed. Utterly destroyed. Now, we have an individual in chapter 7. In chapter 7, we have an individual who took of things that he should not. Chapter 7, verse 1. Read it with me. Joshua. But the children of Israel committed a trespass regarding the accursed things for Achan, the son of Carmi, the son of Zabdi, the son of Zerah, of the tribe of Judah, took of the accursed things. So the anger of the Lord burned against the children of Israel. So here we have the scene now, and here we see somebody took of things they shouldn't have. These accursed things. God issued the commands back in latter parts of the text, Joshua chapter 6 and verse 17. Let's go back to chapter 6. Let's read verse 17. Now the city shall be doomed by the Lord to destruction, it and all who are in it. Only Rahab the harlot shall live, she and all who are with her in the house, because she hid the messengers that we sent. Verse 18. And you, here's the command, here it is. By all means abstain, verse 18, from the accursed things, lest you become accursed when you take of the accursed things, and make the camp of Israel a curse and trouble it. But all the silver and gold, the vessels of bronze and iron are consecrated to the Lord. They shall come into the treasury of the Lord. So they did all that. They destroyed all those things. But I want you to know, notice here in chapter 7, that Achan, he took of things that he shouldn't. But as you continue to read that text, and as we will, nobody else knew about it. So Achan was really hiding these accursed things that he had taken from the rest of the congregation. He took these things secretly. And of course, Joshua and others who would try to take the city of Ai next, they would suffer because of the sin of Achan. You see, the whole congregation was in danger because somebody sinned. That's the lesson in this story. That's what we're going to be talking about. That's why I thought it very crucial this morning to bring that to your attention. How Achan, of course, would cause danger for the entire congregation of Israel, the entire congregation of God. Now, whoever watched Achan do it in secret, we don't know for sure. We do know that one did watch Achan do it, and we know that, of course, to be God. We might think we can get away with anything in life for years and years. We know of people who may have been thieves or maybe murderers or different things like that for years and years, maybe fornicators, whatever it may be. It can be any type of sin. Maybe they drink secretly. Maybe they go off do drugs secretly. Whatever it may be, it could be anything. But they do that for years and years, and nobody catches them. But you know who sees you all the whole time, watches you while you're doing it, sees you the whole time? God does. All the time, 24/7, you can't get away from God. As we talked about Adam and Eve, they couldn't hide from God. Jonah couldn't hide from God. Last Sunday evening, King David, could he hide the sin with Bathsheba from God? No, he couldn't. That's why Nathan the prophet went up and talked to him. We went through that whole thing back in that study last Sunday evening. So that was a great study as well. But Achan, of course, he as well is not going to be able to get away with sins that he committed against his God. And against even putting the congregation in danger, he would greatly suffer for that as well. So all justice would be served in the end of this. Let's turn over to Daniel. Daniel chapter 2. You might ask, why are we turning over to Daniel? It's just a little reference here to talk about God as the revealer of mysteries. As the revealer of secrets. Daniel chapter 2. So put your marker there in Joshua. Daniel chapter 2. Daniel chapter 2 and verse 28. But there is a God in heaven who reveals secrets. He has made known to King Nebuchadnezzar what will be in the latter days. Your dream and the visions of your head upon your bed were these. Did you notice what it said there in the first part of verse 28? There is a God in heaven who reveals secrets. That's Daniel there talking, of course, another prophet of God. But if you go to verse 47 now, same chapter, Daniel chapter 2, verse 47, the same thing is said by another individual. The king answered Daniel and said, "Truly your God is the God of gods, the Lord of kings, and a revealer of secrets, since you could reveal this secret." Now that's an entirely another occasion, an entirely different occasion there. But Daniel and also a king confessing that God is the revealer of all secrets. Any secret we might think we might be able to get away with for years and years, as even Ecclesiastes 12:14 says, we can't hide anything from God because every work will be brought into judgment. Whether good or evil, every secret thing will be brought before the judgment of God on that day. So we need to be ready, making sure that we're not trying to hide our sins from God every single day. We might get away with it, but we can't get away with it with God. That's the whole point of this series. Joshua chapter 7, let's go back there. We're going to start in verse 2, and if you'll read with me, this is one of our study type lessons. One of our study type lessons, so we'll be reading through quite a bit of this text. Joshua chapter 7 and verses 2 through 9. Let's read that together. Now Joshua sent men from Jericho to Ai. So here we go. The guy he just took of the accursed things, nobody knows about it. Now Joshua is going to try to take Ai. They think everything's okay, they're going to find out it's not. Verse 2, which is beside Beth Aven on the east side of Bethel, spoke to them saying, "Go up and spy out the country." So the men went up and spied out Ai. They returned to Joshua and said to him, "Do not let all the people go up, but let about 2,000 or 3,000 men go up and attack Ai. Do not weary all the people there, for the people of Ai are few." So they're confident. They think they're going to take this city without a problem. They've got God on their side. They just witnessed the walls of Jericho falling down miraculously. They think, we got this city down. I mean, there's barely anybody here. We're going to take Ai without a problem. Notice verse 4. So about 3,000 men went up there from the people, but they fled before the men of Ai. And the men of Ai struck down about 36 men, for they chased them from before the gate as far as Shebarim, and struck them down on the descent. Therefore, the hearts of the people melted and became like water. So, all of a sudden, they lose. Israel loses. Like, what's going on, God? Why were we just destroyed? You've been with us all this time. We just took down Jericho, basically miraculously. How are we now losing to a small city like this? So that's really their thought. You notice what it said? The hearts of the people, verse 5, melted and became like water. We might feel like that when we feel God's left us. We need to understand, Christians, as long as we're doing the best that we can for God, as long as we're serving God and keeping His commandments to our fullest ability, God will always be with us. Always. Only sin can separate us from God. We need to understand that. Verse 6. Then Joshua tore his clothes. Notice what Joshua does here, because he's a little confused himself, but still, he tears his clothes, falls to the earth on his face, verse 6, before the ark of the Lord until evening. He and the elders of Israel, and they put dust on their heads. Total acts of humility, just like we read there in Jonah. They're humbling themselves. They don't know what's going on, maybe, but they know some kind of sin has caused this to happen. So they're doing what's according. They're being humble. They're giving all the glory to God. They're trying to repent. Verse 7, Joshua said, "Alas, Lord God, why have you brought this people over the Jordan at all to deliver us in the hand of the Amorites, to destroy us? Oh, that we had been content and dwelt on the other side of the Jordan." Verse 8, "O Lord, what shall I say when Israel turns its back before its enemies? For the Canaanites and all the inhabitants of the land will hear it and surround us and cut off our name from the earth. Then what will you do for your great name?" So just imagine the moment here. I want you to picture it. Try to see it from your own side. Imagine Joshua's moment here. They just lost suddenly. They don't know what's going on. Most likely they have no clue what's going on. Some kind of sin is infecting the camp, they know. That's why they're really trying to do these repentant acts here, like putting ashes on their heads, putting dust on their heads, as it says, verse 6. They're before the ark of the Lord until evening. So now he's wondering, how are we going to be able to take Canaan? Because as you remember from the Old Testament, the conquest of Canaan, they're supposed to take all this land, and they can't even take a small city like Ai. How are we going to take this, God? What will we do? So verse 10, start with me there, chapter 7. What are we going to see? So the Lord said to Joshua, "Get up. Why do you lie thus on your face? Israel has sinned, and they all have also transgressed my covenant, which I commanded them. For they have even taken some of the accursed things, and have both stolen and deceived, and they've also put it among their own stuff." So, whenever Achan thought he could get away with it, who, of course, knew what Achan did, what he was doing the whole time when he took it back in Jericho? God did. He knew the whole time, and of course, he's telling it to Joshua here. Whenever we might think we can get away with anything, God knows, God saw it, and he's telling Joshua. Whether it's yesterday, whether it's today, whether it's a plot in the future, it's a plan for the future, God knows about it. God understands all of our ways. He understands our thoughts. He understands why we do the things we do. He understands what we're thinking today, why we're thinking it today. God knows all those things. God knows us. All that God wants us to do is to know Him, to follow Him. But of course, when we don't know Him, God knows us. That's something else we need to learn about our God, even that's said here. So God knows about this sin that's committed when nobody else does. Verse 12, therefore, chapter 7, verse 12, continue there with me. Therefore, the children of Israel could not stand before their enemies, but turned their backs before their enemies because they had become doomed to destruction. Neither will I be with you any more, unless you destroy the accursed thing from among you. Here it is, verse 13. Notice the urgency that God is really getting to Joshua. Get up, sanctify the people, say, sanctify yourselves for tomorrow. Because, thus says the Lord God of Israel, there's an accursed thing in your midst, O Israel. You cannot stand before your enemies until you take away the accursed thing from among you. God is giving this plea of urgency here. He's saying, Joshua, get up, deal with it now, save the congregation, don't wait a moment longer. Can that happen in the church today? Can we have sin that starts infecting a congregation of the Lord's church? Yes, we absolutely can. You know what? What's the urgency? Deal with it tomorrow, deal with it yesterday, deal with it rather years in the future. If it's something so urgent that it's infecting the congregation now, it's destroying the congregation, deal with it. Get up. Do something about it now, Joshua. Go deal with it. Save the congregation. That's the urgency here. That's the lesson I'm trying to urge to you this morning. There can be a sin in the congregation, and we may not know about it. But when somebody finds out about it, when we might find out about it, we got to deal with it. Why? Because those sins can start infecting others. They can start affecting everything. They can start affecting other people. They can cause people to fall away. They can cause people to no longer know God. All sorts of things can happen. So you got to deal with those things. That's really the urgency that God is giving to Joshua here. Now let's continue there in verse 14. Verse 14. In the morning, chapter 7, verse 14, therefore you shall be brought according to your tribes, and it shall be that the tribe which the Lord takes shall come according to families, and the family which the Lord takes shall come by households, and the household which the Lord takes shall come man by man. Then it shall be, verse 15, this is still God talking, that he who is taken with the accursed thing shall be burned with fire, he and all that he has, because he has transgressed the covenants of the Lord, because he has done a disgraceful thing in Israel. Now, as God has given, can God take away? Absolutely. As God has given to you and as God has blessed you with all that you have in life, God can surely take it away. That's what we're going to see happen with Achan here, whether he repented or not. God, as God gave to Achan, as God gave him all these things, God's still going to take those physical things away from him, even his own life. So whether or not he was saved spiritually, we don't know. We don't know. Other accounts I'm reminded, maybe like Uzzah, maybe different other people like that. Remember Uzzah back in the Old Testament? There's always been a discussion, you know, is he saved or not spiritually? I don't know if he's saved or not. I don't know if Uzzah's saved or not. I don't know if Solomon's saved or not. I don't know. I don't even know maybe if King David's saved or not. You know why? Because I'm not God. I'm not the judge. Who's God and the judge? God is. So we can talk about that all day long. We can talk about their lives and we can look at the fruits of their lives. We can talk about those things, but who knows? They could have repented. They could not have repented. They could have sinned whenever we don't know about something. We just don't know. That's why we leave those things up to God. Whether or not Achan did the same thing here, we don't know. But of course, God still, with all authority, is going to do what he's about to do. So we continue reading there. Joshua, he's going to deal with this as soon as he can. He's going to deal with this now, urgently. In the contextual language, it's the same. In the Hebrew language, Joshua, verse 16, rose early in the morning, brought Israel by their tribes. The tribe of Judah was taken. Just as God is saying, he's doing it. Notice that. He brought the clan of Judah. He took the family of the Zarahites. He brought the family of the Zarahites man by man, and Zabdi was taken. Then he brought his household, man by man, and Achan, the son of Carmi, here he is, the son of Zabdi, the son of Zerah, of the tribe of Judah, was taken. So here they're just collecting the people. They're doing exactly what God wanted. Collecting the people, and now they're going to see who it is. Verse 18, then he brought his household, man by man. Well, we just read that. Verse 19, Joshua said to Achan, my son, I beg you, give glory to the Lord God of Israel and make confession to him. And tell me now what you have done. Do not hide it from me. So Joshua literally here's the series. Don't hide the sin. Don't try to keep going longer in hiding this sin. Once again, I ask you, have we ever tried to hide a sin before? Have we ever tried to do that? I think everybody in here can nod their heads yes. I have. I've tried to hide a sin before. I think everybody in here has done that. And we might get away with that with every man, with every woman, with every child that we can. With every grandmother, grandparent, whoever it is, great-grandparents. I don't care who it is, your father or mother. Might be able to get away with it. Your spouse. But still, God knows. He always, always knows. You just can't get away from God. So there's no point in trying to hide your sin all your life. Because whenever it comes to it, in eternity, that sin will destroy you. So you need to get rid of it. That's the urgency here. That's the urgency that God has given to Joshua. Get rid of this sin before it corrupts your soul. Get rid of this sin before it corrupts the congregation. Of course, Joshua extended that same urgency to Achan. Don't try to hide it. Don't try to hide it, brother. Confess it. Confess it. Please, I beg of you. Notice Joshua literally begging this man, Achan, to confess it. Because they know it's him. They know it's him. Confess it, Achan. Don't try to hide it. Don't try to hide it. Now, verse 20, notice what Achan's response is. Notice. And this is why I talked about why or why not he could have repented. Achan answered Joshua, verse 20, and said, indeed, I have sinned against the Lord God of Israel, and this is what I have done. When I saw among the spoils a beautiful Babylonian garment, 200 shekels of silver and a wedge of gold weighing 50 shekels, I coveted them and took them, and there they are, hidden in the earth in the midst of my tent, with the silver under it. Did Achan not tell Joshua, or did he tell Joshua the truth? Well, let's see. Verse 22. So Joshua sent messengers, and they ran to the tent. There it was, hidden in this tent, in his tent, with the silver under it. They took them from the midst of the tent, brought them to Joshua, to all the children of Israel, laid them out before the Lord. Was Achan telling the truth? Had he taken of the accursed things and hid them in his tent? Yes, he did. So Achan's confession here, notice he actually did confess the truth. He confessed the truth. He said he sinned against the Lord God of Israel. He told them exactly what he did, where he hid the sin, where he hid the accursed things. He told them that. He told them that he tried to hide it. He didn't really hesitate in that, it seems. He just answered Joshua and he told him, indeed, I have sinned against the Lord God of Israel. Whether or not Achan was saved or not spiritual, once again, we don't know. We just don't know. But one thing I can tell you is that Achan did, in a way, he confessed that he sinned. Do we need to do that if we have sin in our lives? Yes, we need to confess those sins to God. Whether it's a private sin, whether it's a public sin. I always give that invitation. You know, sometimes I say, if it's a private sin, make sure you get that right with your God. Make sure you ask for forgiveness to your God right now. Make sure you get that right. Achan, whatever his spiritual condition was, he's confessing that sin. He's telling them exactly what happened. He's telling them even that he coveted them. So this man, if nothing else, was humble enough to tell them even that he was covetous in these things. That he was coveting those garments, everything that he wanted to take, those silver, that the 200 shekels of silver, the wedge of gold, all these different things, he was coveting them and he took them. And he tried to hide it. As we talked about with King David, with Adam and Eve, with Jonah, they maybe tried to run away. They tried to hide their sin. But could they do it whenever God came in? No, they couldn't. God was watching them the whole time. That's the point of this series. You can't hide your sins from God no matter what you do. You just can't do it. It's impossible. So, we'll go ahead and read the last part of this chapter, and then we'll look at maybe just a few lessons, and then we'll be finished. Verse 24. Then Joshua and all Israel with him took Achan, the son of Zerah, the silver, the garment, the wedge of gold, his sons, his daughters, his oxen, his donkeys, this is all Achan's, his sheep, his tents, and all that he had, and they brought them to the valley of Achor. And Joshua said, "Why have you troubled us? The Lord will trouble you this day." So all Israel stoned him with stones, and they burned them with fire after they had stoned them with stones. Then they raised over him a great heap of stones, still there to this day. So the Lord turned from the fierceness of his anger. Therefore, the name of that place has been called the Valley of Achor to this day. Whether or not he was saved spiritually, that's another question. But we do know that because this man caused other Israelites to die, caused other Israelites to lose their physical lives, because of that, because of the sin that he did that caused that to happen, he also would lose his possessions. He also would lose his life. He would lose everything that he had. They gathered everything Achan had and they destroyed all of it. Achan lost everything. So whether or not the spiritual conditions, once again, but as God gave, can God take away? Who has the authority to get to take away just as he's given? Why are we here today? Why are we living? God gave us these lives that we're living. He allows us to make the decisions that we make. Understand that, people. God gave you your life. God is your Father. You need to know your God just as he knows you. So whether or not, once again, the spiritual condition, God punishes Achan in all these ways. Let's look at a few New Testament texts, and then we'll be finished. We know about 1 Corinthians chapter 5 and verses 1 through 13. Remember what happens there? I mentioned that a little bit earlier, but we'll just mention a few things once again. So 1 Corinthians chapter 5 verses 1 through 13. 1 Corinthians chapter 5 verses 1 through 13. Here's another situation where the Corinthian church has a sin within it. Of course, they're really not doing anything about it. They're not dealing with it. And Paul is pleading with them. He's telling them, get up, deal with the sin right now. Deal with it right now. So immorality here is defiling the church, as your New King James Version header says it. Verse 1 of chapter 5 in 1 Corinthians. Let's read it. It is actually reported that there is sexual immorality among you, and such sexual immorality is not even named among the Gentiles, that a man has his father's wife. You are puffed up, have not rather mourned, that he who has done this deed might be taken away from you. For I indeed, as absent in body, but present in spirit, have already judged, as though I were present, him who has so done this deed. Verse 4, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, when you are gathered together along with my spirit, with the power of our Lord Jesus Christ, verse 5, here, what are they supposed to do? Deliver such a one to Satan for the destruction of the flesh, that his spirit may be saved in the day of the Lord Jesus. Your glorying is not good. Do you not know that a little leaven leavens the whole lump? The same situation is going on here, Christians. With the Corinthian church, the same thing. Sin can corrupt a congregation completely. As we always say, once you open the door, when does it stop? When does it stop? When you open one door to sin, it just keeps on going. It gets bigger and bigger and bigger. It gets worse and worse and worse. That's how denomination starts. That's how we get further and further and further and further away from the truth. From the truth of God, that is. So verse 5, they're told to deliver such a one to Satan. This is what we call church discipline. Verse 6, your glorying is not good. And what, once again, we talk about church discipline. What's the point of church discipline? What's the point? Does anybody know? What's the point? There must be a point to the things that God says. God loves us, so what's the point of doing that? That his spirit, verse 5, may be saved in the day of the Lord Jesus. That guilt that you once knew God and that you're choosing not to obey God, you're choosing not to live your life for God, you're choosing not to know God your whole life, that guilt builds up inside a person. And that makes them want to come back to God. Whether or not they do, that's up to them. That's their decision. But still, that's their choice. But really here, these Corinthians, they're not helping. They're not dealing with it. They're glorying in these things. But verse 7, Paul tells them, purge out the old leaven that you may be a new lump, since you are truly unleavened. For indeed, Christ our Passover was sacrificed for us. Therefore, let us keep the feast not with old leaven, nor with the leaven of malice and wickedness, but with the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. And it continues to talk about it there in verse 9. I wrote to you in my epistle not to keep company with sexually immoral people. So it continues to talk about that there in verses 9 through 13. We won't go over that, but we'll look at maybe one or two more verses and then we'll finish up. Romans chapter 1 and verses 28 through 32. Romans 1, 28 through 32, if you turn there with me. We're almost finished here, I promise. Romans 1, 28 through 32. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a debased mind, to those things which are not fitting. Being filled with all unrighteousness, sexual immorality, wickedness, covetousness, and maliciousness, full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, evil-mindedness, they are whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, violent, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, undiscerning, untrustworthy, unloving, unforgiving, unmerciful, who, verse 32, knowing the righteous judgment of God, that those who practice such things are deserving of death. Not only do the same, but also approve of those who practice them. So once again, we have this lesson of those who are committing the sin and also those who are condoning the sin. So one thing that the Corinthian church back in that text was doing was they were condoning that sin. How? They may not have liked it, but they were condoning it by allowing it to stay in that situation, to stay in that church. They weren't dealing with it as they should have. They were instructed to get rid of that sin from among them, to deliver such a one to Satan, that their spirit might be saved. That was an instruction by the Holy Spirit. But they, whether or not they did it, that's up to them. They were expected to do that before, but Paul was blown away that they hadn't done that yet. Is there such among us today? Is there such among congregation over there? Church of Christ, we're in danger if there's sin like that among us. If there's any sin among us. Danger for the congregation of Israel in Achan's day, in Joshua's day. It was there. They had to deal with it now. We have to deal with sin now if it's here in this congregation. We have to deal with it. We can't just sit here and wait month after month, year after year. Some congregations do it, and by the time it's done, the congregation's a Baptist church, the congregation's a Catholic, the congregation's Islam, the congregation has gone so far off the plane, they don't even believe in God anymore. You think it's not a danger? It happens. It happens. We have got to get rid of the sin that starts in the congregation. Get rid of opening that door. Don't open it. Get rid of it before it spreads, before it corrupts every soul in this room. Get rid of it. That's the urgency I'm trying to plead with you today. People will try to hide sins for year after year after year. But we cannot let those things come on us and affect us and infect us and lead to the destruction of our spirits as well. We can't let that happen. There are other texts I'll give to you, but we won't read them. I urge you to read them later for your own study. Other texts like Titus chapter 3, verses 10 through 11. Titus 3, 10 through 11. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3 and verse 6. And also verses 14 through 15. These are just for you to write down. I always do this usually at the end of the lessons. Romans chapter 16, verses 17 through 18. 1 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 20. And then also finally 1 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 5. Just some more things for you to write down for those of you taking notes. But you can't hide your sins from the Most High God. That is the lesson in our series. You cannot hide your sins from the Most High God. Talking about Achan. Tonight, I urge you, I ask you, please do make it tonight for us to talk about Ananias and Sapphira. Please do make it because it's going to be a great, great study. If you can make it, it would warm my heart, really make us all happy to see you there. We're going to be talking about Ananias and Sapphira, so it's going to be a great another study. That's going to be the finisher of our series on You Cannot Hide Your Sins from the Most High God. I hope you're there tonight. If you have any way been pricked by the lesson this morning, if you have in any way been affected by this lesson, and you know you may have a sin in your life that you're trying to hide, you need to get that right this morning. Once again, whether it's public or private, just get it right. Get it right with your God, Christian. Get it right today. If you have any sin in your life, you need to ask for forgiveness from your Father. If you're not a Christian, there's only one way to be saved, and that way is to obey the Lord Jesus Christ, your Savior, who died for you, John 3:16, died for the whole world, died for your sins, of course, so that we can have that eternal home in heaven if we obey Him. John 14:15. Will we obey Him? Will we follow Him? Will we know Him? Will we know God? That's up to us. Or will we try to hide our sins all of our life? Some people don't even try to hide it. Some people just live in sin their whole life. And then after their life, in the afterlife, it's not so good for them. It doesn't turn out so good for them. If you think there's not an afterlife, that's foolish. Think about how it's going to feel on your deathbed. We don't like to think about the deathbed. But how's it going to feel on the deathbed when we're thinking about the afterlife? In the latter parts of our lives, I may be young, but I know people start thinking about the afterlife more so. We can all die tomorrow. We need to be ready. That's the point. That's the urgency I'm trying to get to you this morning. Are you ready to face God today? Are you ready to face the judgment of God today? Will you be destroyed because of the consequences of sin? Or will you be rewarded with eternal life after a faithful life to God? If you're not a Christian, believe Jesus is the Son of God. Repent of your sins. Confess Jesus as the Son of God before men today. And be baptized into the water, immersed for the remission of your sins, and to be added to the kingdom of God. And then remain faithful all of your life until death, and you will receive the crown of life. If you do that today, become a Christian, and remain faithful all your life, be repentant whenever you sin, you will receive that reward of heaven. You will receive it. If you are in any way subject to the invitation today, please do come to the front as we stand and praise God together.
Tenderly calling new name. Be seated, please.